You listen to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.com. Kevin Woodley joins us, as he always does, Monday afternoons. Woodley, how you doing?
You know what? I'm recovered, because that was a busy Friday. First, we had the Jari Skinner trade, which I quickly wrote a story on and broke down all the numbers and we talked about. And just as I was starting to settle into my evening, boom, Quinn Hughes. So, yeah, it was Friday night lasted a little while, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's rare to have two starting goalies traded for one another. I'm trying to think the last time that's happened. It's been a while, for sure. I don't know if I would count the Gorgiev trade as that. I don't know if, you know, I guess technically it would be with him and Wedgwood, I guess, and not Wedgwood, but Blackwood. But Blackwood wasn't really the full-on starter at the time, so even then, probably not. But I read your article, thought it was done very well, and they're going to face each other right away tomorrow night. Of course, Jari and the Oilers in Pittsburgh to take on Skinner and the Penguins. When you look at the trade, Kev, like all of the parts, if you look at Kulak, everything else, do you like the trade better for one team or the other?
I think if I say I like it better for Edmonton, know that I say that without any disrespect for Stuart Skinner. More from the case of, like, they're a contender. They're in a contending window. They hope to get back and finally get over the hump, and they felt like they needed a change. We talked about on Friday, and the numbers I had in that story, you know, present Jari as, you know, a measurable improvement between the pipes. The part that is tough for me is to measure how much does Kulak affect your defensive environment into the playoffs. And, you know, obviously goaltending never exists in a vacuum. And so what Jari faces is dependent on that defensive environment. Are you better? Are you neutral? Are you worse defensively because of the other parts of that trade? And Jason, I would lean on you, honestly, to give me a better answer there. And certainly time will tell with the second trade that they made. But the first night in Toronto, you know, and again, because they're scoring so much at the other end, maybe the game just opens up and that's all it is. But defensively, like 12 high danger chances against, close to 4 expected goals against a Leafs team that, you know, hasn't necessarily been fantastic offensively this season, you know, that can't be the norm moving forward. Jari was very good in that game, managing those 12 high danger chances. All 3 that got by him were high danger. There were some things in his game that I expected, some other things that were better than I expected. And sort of fitting that into your defensive environment by the time you get to the playoffs will ultimately give you your answer. But I like him as a short-term, like, I think there are things he does a little bit better than Stu that might fit this team right now more than Stu was to this point in the season.
How much, Kevin, how much of a benefit, or who handles the puck better, would you feel, between Skinner and Jari? And how much of a benefit will be, to have a good goalie that actually can handle the puck back there?
Well, you know, like, I think Stu was actually pretty confident with it. Made some mistakes with it that, you know, kind of Mike Smith style would always show up on the highlight reels. But that's what comes with going out and playing it, is the more you touch it, it's like the elite defenseman that has a stick on, or the puck on his stick all night, his turnovers, he's more likely to make them. I think Jari's one of the best puck-handling goalies in the league. I think in Pittsburgh, they tried to rein it in a little bit, like just make the simple plays. I know they did with Alex Nedeljkovic, who is up there as well as one of the elite puck-handlers. Like, hey, like, let's not get crazy. Let's make the simple play, the simple pass, or just the simple lead. So I do think he's a little better with it in terms of puck handling. In terms of how they can turn that into an advantage, you know, that's on the coaching staff, right? Like, you need to allow him to play to his strengths. You need to give him time to get on the same page as the defenseman. Make sure that the reads and the calls, everybody, and this will take some time, is thinking similarly. So much of what you do as a goaltender when you get out there and stop it behind the net, you don't always have a time to get your head up and take a look and make a read. You're depending on calls. And so being on the same page there, knowing that, hey, like, skating right at him might not be as good as peeling off and giving him an outlet. Getting on the same page there is going to be crucial, and it might take a little bit of time. But I think overall, and part of this is just his mobility. And when I talked about him versus Skinner, you know, I think Tristan Jarry is a little more agile, a little more mobile, and being able to get out to a few more of those rims and stop them behind the net will tip in his favor. The question then is, can they all get on the same page in terms of what the best move is after he stopped it?
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Let's look at the upcoming week for the Oilers. They got Swayman in Boston, most likely. Then they got the, I'm guessing maybe Wallstedt. He had a shutout against the Oilers. Usually they might get him again. And then Vegas. So let's start in Boston and Swayman. How's he played? What are his numbers? And what are is there any areas the Oilers should try to exploit?
Well, I think Swayman's numbers have trended up. I mean, they took a hit last night in the Hughes game, Quinn's first game in Minnesota, including the lone goal that Quinn scored in that one is a goal I'm sure Jeremy would like back. But his numbers were starting to trend, you know, flirting with, after a slow start to the season, top 15, flirting with the top 10 in the National Hockey League, adjusted heading into last night. So Jeremy's a guy with just elite edge control. And so his ability to sort of hold edges and then move laterally from it are at a real high end. There are ways you score on every goal. You create more east-west. But in some ways, you're playing to his strengths there. Taking away his eyes, he tends to manage screens from a bit of a low stance and look around them as opposed to up and over them, and can get caught in transition when he does go up high over in a high stance. So again, creating that net front presence is one way to attack him, making sure his life is difficult, not giving him clean looks at pucks, making him hesitate. You know, we saw this with Jarry on the last goal in Toronto, where yeah, it's a one-timer, he doesn't get across, but the reason he doesn't get across is he never sees the pass, right? So screens are not just about shots with screens. It's about taking away the eyes and putting him behind on lateral plays. And you give Swayman a chance to see it, he's going to beat it because he's such an elite skater. And even if he's low and wide and you get him to the ice, he still recovers from his knees so well that he always has a chance. So the more chaos and taking away the eyes you can create, you have a better chance to have success on those east-west passes if he's just a hair behind because he wasn't able to read even the pass off the blade.
And then we saw Wallstedt get the shutout and Gustafson. Do you think either one of them is a better matchup for how the Oilers attack?
Honestly, even if there was, I think they're just going to keep a rotation because it's working. And why would you start to get into, and we've talked about this before, if you've got a rotation, why would you create any win and you're in, or this is a matchup that favors you? I do think that Wallstedt is a little, like, he's still a little more A to B positional, right? Like, he is a big body. I think Gus might have a little more reactive element in his game. Now, the numbers haven't tipped in Gustafson's favor compared to Wallstedt yet, but some of that is environment. Like, Wallstedt has had the easier of the two environments by about 12 points to this point in the season, and that's not insignificant. I think in chaos, I think in, you know, dynamic offensive attacks, when push comes to shove in the playoffs, if they decide to pick a guy, I think it could end up being Gustafson, as good as Wallstedt has been. When he's in there, I happen to see his only loss against Vancouver, but there were just some reads and some chances where if you can get to the perimeter of the net and sort of make him make saves around the outer edges, there was some exposure there. He puts himself in a great position to get hit. And I'm not saying he's a blocking goalie, but he's very technical, and that foundation puts that big frame in a good spot a lot. I think if you can get him moving east-west and start to, you know, put pucks just under crossbars and inside posts, that's where you can get to him. And you know, based on the quality of shots he's faced so far this season compared to Gustafson, he hasn't seen as much of that. So my knee-jerk would be to say that Gustafson, if this was a playoff series, I think you might see him. But in the meantime, it's whoever's up in that rotation. I don't think they would change just because Wallstedt had the shutout.
Hey, Kevin, I just curiosity, what would it be like, you know, is there any, would there be any concerns or could there be excitement going from one goalie coach in Pittsburgh, you know, to having a new goalie coach? Is, you know, goaltending teaching, is it very similar or is it just personality based or relationship based? What are your thoughts on that?
A lot of it is relationship based, and that's going to be Peter Aubrey's first job. Is I know he really went to work on building a relationship with Stu last summer. You know, trips to Kelowna, see what he was doing, understand how he thinks the game, understand how he was approaching it. Obviously, a little tougher in season. I've said the irony here is Jari's a guy that in the summer skated with Dustin Schwartz, the goalie coach that they moved on from this summer, and now he's back. That relationship would have been built in. But it's on Peter to sort of figure out what makes Jari tick. I don't know that you would see in season a lot of changes. I would think that unless something was glaring and it seemed like an easy fix, like tactically, hey, if we play this a little deeper or if we're not out as early on this rush chance, look how much easier the game becomes. Like those are the simple type of changes you might be able to make, but you're probably not making significant technical or tactical adjustments halfway through a season. And I think you'd have to build the relationship before you even tried. Like, even if you see something on video, it's like, hey, if I got him doing this instead of that, it gives us a chance on all these saves that right now are a bit problematic. Understanding why your goaltender was doing it that instead of this before you try to insert that or make an attempt to change it is really important, because there's usually a thought process behind it. There are very few guys that are doing it just because, hey, this is how I've always done it, although that does happen. So just really understanding his approach, his foundation, tactically as much as technically, like why he plays things a certain way, and then the mindset, what types of things he likes to do on a game day, good drills are, both on a morning skate, and that's easy because they're usually pretty similar, but also on an off day. Like, you know, there will probably be highs and lows. There are inevitably ups and downs that come with being a goalie in the National Hockey League, especially this year with this schedule. And so knowing what work gets your goalie feeling good and gets them feeling sharp, whether it's a handful of drills or just a type of play or a type of drill sequence that raises their confidence and makes them feel like, hey, I'm holding my edges better or my hands are active. Knowing what those are and making sure you're building that relationship to use them at the right time is a massive part of this. Now, Tristan's undergone some changes in his game the past couple of summers, put a lot of work in off the ice and on the ice. Andy Kyoto's a really good goalie coach in Pittsburgh. And so, you know, I do think that these guys talk. You know, I don't know about these two specifically, but that in general, goalie coaches will talk to the guy who he was working with most recently to sort of get some of those answers. What's changed? What have you done? What are the focal points? And what is this goalie like that makes him feel good about himself and his game on a day-to-day basis? Especially for a goalie that's made some changes. And it'll be fascinating to see where it goes. It's not an easy process in this, especially this season of all seasons. But Peter's been around long enough, and when I watch the way he approached it with Stu, I'm confident that, you know, he'll make all the right steps in terms of talking to the right people about what it is that makes Tristan Jari tick so that he can push all the right buttons over the rest of this year.
Kevin Woodley from Ingle Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kev, what about Vegas? So we're going to see on Sunday in Edmonton. I haven't watched a ton of Vegas this season. Obviously, we know that Adin Hill's been out. Carter Hart has obviously come back, and now he is he's played, I think, four starts since coming over. So I'm guessing maybe he will be the guy who gets the start for Vegas on Sunday. It's kind of like his hometown, I would think. But what do you make of the goaltending in Vegas right now?
Yeah, it's been a little hit and miss, to be honest with you. Kira Schmidt was the guy that I really liked last year. He has not had the sort of start to this season compared to the way he played all of last season statistically. You know, their guys are kind of a little bit below expected. I mean, the only guy that's sort of playing to his environment right now is actually Carter Hart, right around expected, which is remarkable when you consider coming into a season cold. Carl Lindblom had like one of the worst environments in the league, smaller goalie, 868 expected save percentage. He was a full percentage point below that. Schmid's had an easier environment at 907 and just been under that by the same margin of a full percentage point, which, yeah, I mean, that puts him 60th out of 82 goalies in the league, but it's essentially one goal below league average for every 100 chances, right? So it's not a hugely bad number. And then, you know, Aiden Hill at almost minus 2%, two goals every 100. Like, they just haven't had the goaltending this season that they've been used to. And outside of Lindblom sort of getting thrown to the wolves with all the really tough starts and the tougher minutes, the other guys, you know, their expected save percentages are all above league average, or in some cases significantly above league average. So it hasn't been a great start for the goalies there. Hart's the only one that, like I said, is around league average or slightly above, holding water. And so, you know, depending on his comfort level and games played, because you do have to be mindful, like trying to catch a moving train when you start that late into a season, no matter what you do outside of a game environment in terms of training and the drill work, nothing replicates games. So not riding him too hard is going to be important. But if he's healthy and ready to go, you know, he's been Vegas's best option, not just amongst, between him and Schmid, but, you know, even when you include the way Aiden Hill started the season before injury, his numbers are much better than what Hill had produced.
Kevin, how much do you think this benefits Calvin Pickard? I mean, obviously he played, you know, very well yesterday despite losing, but, you know, sometimes a change of scenery for any goalie and, you know, for a new goalie to come in, a new relationship. Do you see this maybe in competition? Do you see this maybe helping Calvin Pickard as well?
Well, the first thing that's going to help Calvin Pickard is not having one of the toughest environments in the league, right? Like, I talked about Lindblom's 868 expected. I didn't readjust it for last night's, but Pickard's down there, you know, amongst one of the toughest environments in the entire NHL. He's going to be an important part of this process, right? Like, he understands the system, the coaches, the player tendencies, the goalie coach. Like, he could be a very important conduit to Tristan Jarry getting comfortable here fast, and we know what kind of person he is. We know how well Calvin thinks the game. And so the types of details that he has built in innately and will be able to share, and I just think he's a really good at reading people. And so he'll probably be able to read what it is Tristan Jarry wants pretty quickly, how he can help him in that manner. Like, I wouldn't discount how important he's going to be to this process. But in terms of, like, I also don't think he's a guy that needs a push. The biggest thing for me is he went from one of the easier environments in the league to the hardest this year. And if they've had some moments of late where it's like, okay, like, it feels like they're showing up for him defensively, they need more of those to give him a fighting chance. Because nobody survives in the type of environment he's been in this year. As much as last year, a lot of the numbers were based on the environment being so good, it's been the polar opposite. And that's a big ask of any goalie. It's a really big ask of one that doesn't play all that often. And one that might, you know, sounds like with some of the conversations, you know, there's been a few starts where he's gone into it thinking, man, I better be good tonight, or how much longer am I the guy here? And that's kind of a tough way to live. But for Pickard, he's been around so long, a lot of goalies would be like, I try too hard, and you can't try too hard in this game. Like, you have to let the puck come to you. You start chasing plays and chasing pucks, they'll just tic-tac-toe it around you. And so his experience allows him to sort of navigate that and manage that better than a lot of goalies, but it's a tough way to live. And so, you know, you'd hope that sort of he can build a little momentum last night notwithstanding and get a few better performances in front of him and just sort of start to build some momentum so he's not feeling like that every night. Like, wow, like, maybe I'm next if we don't have a good night tonight. It would behoove his teammates to have a couple more in front of him that are a little more predictable environment-wise.
Yeah, very much so. Kev, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself an awesome day.
Thanks, guys.